Good evening. You are listening to episode 2 of All In with the Saints. We are back again with your preseason preview of the position-by-position breakdown. Last segment, we did the quarterbacks. This one is the running backs. We'll have wide receivers later this week, and then next week we'll touch on defense as kind of a preseason wrap-up, look ahead to the season, all that type of good stuff. But as always, you're still listening to myself, Jake Seeley, and Bobby McMahon. If you want to ever catch us on Twitter for suggestions, questions, things you want to talk about in the show, especially during the season, you can get me at All In Kid. You can get Bobby at Hello on Bobby. Both of our handles are one word. Very simple for you guys to figure out. And I guess, really, are you ready to get in running backs tonight?
Yeah, I say let's hop into it. You know, last show, it was obviously our first one. We kicked it off with quarterbacks. So we kicked it off with an easy one with Drew Brees. But now we get the three-headed monster of the backfield of the Saints tonight that we get to talk about. So I'm looking forward to hearing your opinions on these guys and how they're going to fare for this fantasy season.
Yeah, it's great from a Saints perspective, not so much from a fantasy perspective, because it can definitely we'll get into it, but you know, it can frustrate trying to figure out just week to week who's going to be the one you want to lean on. It's similar to the Patriots and teams like that we've seen, but. That being said, we'll start at the top, as we did last time. We don't have Drew Brees or a Saints player to talk about right at the top, but we have plenty of upside. Actually, a little sneak preview is one of my favorite players for underrated value is actually on the Saints. But that being said, at the top, I'm kind of interested. I don't usually like debating the number one. It's funny because the last show we debated number one because we debated Manning, Rodgers, and Brees. And there's a debate for number one at running back, but I don't know, maybe you're on the other side of the fence, and I hate to say that you're nuts if you are right out of the gate, but I honestly think, and I'm going to tie a little bit of baseball into it, people can look it up for people who don't pay attention to baseball at all, but it's my comparison for how I feel. Going into the baseball season, a lot of people said Mike Trout's not number one. It should be Miguel Cabrera or even somebody else. People were making a case against Trout, even though he was clear, far, in a way, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's the superior fantasy player. That's how I feel about Jamaal Charles. I look at what Jamaal Charles did last year in one less game, outscoring everybody, and how much that offense is going to need him this year. Dwayne Bowe with his finger. Even if Dwayne Bowe's out there for 16 games, Alex Smith isn't a big downfield passer. He does check down. The offense with Andy Reid loves to check down to running backs. Jamaal Charles is going to be fed the ball nonstop this season. And if healthy, I think it's Charles and then everybody else. People want to put McCoy up there because of that offense. People want to make a case, well, don't forget about Adrian Peterson, what he can do if he plays 16 games. And those are all nice. And don't get me wrong, I would love to have either one of them on my team. And even some people say Matt Forte in a PPR league should be considered for number one because of how many passes he catches. But I feel like all three of those guys, because I think there's a collection of four at the top that we could say are all that top tier of running backs, I feel like they're making arguments against Charles and for them just to try and have somebody different, because it's very, very, very few and far between that a running back repeats as champion.
Yeah, and I think that's what the case is, you know, with Charles, it's, well, he's not going to have as good of a year as he did last year, at least maybe scoring touchdowns. I don't know. I guess that's the case. And, you know, he did have 19 touchdowns total last year. Excellent receiving back. And really, I think he puts up better receiving numbers than Shady, even though Shady outpaced the league in rushing by a healthy margin, actually. So I am a Shady guy through and through. Not that probably came out wrong. I'm a LeSean McCoy supporter through and through. But I just don't see how Jamaal Charles isn't the number one pick here. And, you know, that's why I think the number two spot is you know, golden as far as, you know, the top couple. If you're going to be drafting at the top, I'd rather actually take two than one and let someone else make the decision of whether they want Jamaal Charles or LeSean McCoy. Because I think they're – personally for me, they're clearly the top two for me. I think McCoy – may not have as many rushing yards as he did last year, but I expect a bigger season touchdown-wise. But I also think his receptions aren't really going to go up from the 52 he had last year, especially with Darren Sproles in town. So that's why I think – I mean, Charles is the man there. He is that offense. So I think he's the – I wouldn't say no-brainer pick because you can certainly, like you said, people are making a case for Adrian Peterson or for LeSean McCoy or even Matt Forte. So it's certainly not a no-brainer, but Jamaal Charles should be locked into that number one pick if it were me.
I think that's clear in the case there is, and I get the Forte and PPR leagues. I get what people are trying to come away with, and especially with that offense, he could even see more this season. But if we were talking that Forte came within 20 points of Jamaal Charles last year, and then you say, okay, maybe Charles doesn't score as many touchdowns, then I could see it as a better argument. But I'm just looking at last year, and just for everybody who's listening, perspective-wise, he was 42 points ahead of Forte last year. 42. PPR league, it gets a little bit closer. Oh wait, no, it doesn't. Oh, that's what I meant. He was 42. It doesn't get closer. I was gonna say it gets worse if you look at it from the standard side of things, because Charles outpaced him by, what is it, 7, 47. So it's even worse than standard. It's not even close in my opinion. But again, I like Forte, and I'm not going to complain. With you, I'll even take it a step further. As much as I like LeSean McCoy, I'm with you. I love his potential, but I'm almost happiest when I have the fourth pick because I'll just take whichever those four is there, and then you get the quicker turnaround.
Yep, no, that's actually a nice spot to be at. I wouldn't be complaining. I think I'd have Forte fourth. I do like Adrian Peterson to have a pretty nice year this year. Obviously, the yards dropped majorly coming off of that ridiculous 2012 season. But he's still going to score a bunch of touchdowns. He's still going to get you double digits there, and I think his receptions go up this year. So I'm looking for a big year from Peterson, and then Forte always he's just a solid guy. He's just, especially in PPR, he just goes to work and catches a crazy amount of balls and he racks up over 1,000 yards rushing too. So love that Bears offense. So any one of those four, I think you're in pretty good shape to start your fantasy team.
Okay, yeah, I think definitely. Now, this next part is where I'm drawing some contention from a lot of people because there's a certain player in this range where a lot of people are not on the bandwagon as much as there's a lot of people on the bandwagon. Actually, compared to where it was in January and February when I was talking about him, and I haven't moved him that much since then. Everybody else is starting to jump on board. It's like a madhouse back there, but they still don't have him quite as high as I do. Number five for me right now is Eddie Lacy, but very, 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 very close to him is Monty Ball. And in the Flex Experts League over the weekend, I actually took Monty Ball over Eddie Lacy when I had the choice between the two because to me, it's a coin flip, and I just went with what I believe. All I gotta say is if No'Shawn Moreno can do what he did with the Broncos behind Peyton Manning, and actually, if you go and look at running backs with Peyton Manning, how amazing they perform. And sometimes you have to collect two because you don't always have 16 games. But just look at what running backs have done behind Peyton Manning. For No'Shawn Moreno, Monty Ball is very much more talented than No'Shawn Moreno. He's a very good pass catcher, which people don't realize. He's good at picking up blitzes a lot better than he was last year, and it actually better than people wanted to give him credit for coming out of college. So he's going to be on the field. The only threat to him not posting insane numbers, in my opinion, is a potential injury. And then you're going to turn to probably a mix of Hillman and CJ Anderson. But I love Monty Ball. A lot of people have him at the lower top 10, and that, like I said, that's a lot higher than people had him. I had him at number 7. I moved him up one spot because I was going back and forth and back and forth the Marshawn Lynch situation. And I'm seeing the upside here. It wouldn't surprise me if Monty Ball could reach the top 4.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got that kind of potential within that Broncos offense. Like you said, No'Shawn Moreno put up great numbers last year, and No'Shawn Moreno is not really that talented of a back. You've been on Monte Ball since jump. I will give you that much. I remember last year, you wrote an article for Roto Experts about the rookies for redraft, and you were high on Monte Ball. I not so much. It thought he was kind of a tick above average kind of guy. But the good thing about it is being able to analyze and look at the situation. I still think he's not supremely gifted. I think there's other running backs that are more talented than him. But his combination of situation and talent is very lucrative, and it will be for fantasy owners this year. I agree with you on Eddie Lacy. He's number five for me. I really think he's got a big season, big time touchdown potential, I think, in that Packers offense. So I really like what the possibilities of what Lacy can do, you know, that battering ram type running back. And he also not a bad receiving back either. So he'll be active in the passing game as well. So definitely Eddie Lacy locked into five for me. And then I think it's a bunch of guys. I mean, it's up in the air. We got your guy Ball, we got Marshawn Lynch, who you mentioned, and just a bunch of other guys that could be really good or could be RB2 or, you know, even worse if something goes even more wrong. So this is kind of the time where really the tough fantasy decisions come in for me. And if I'm in the first round of a draft, I'm not sure I'm comfortable. You know, I like Ball's upside. So he might be the pick at six on because I don't, you know, DeMarco Murray had a great year last year. And you know, maybe he's a guy that's up there for you as well. But you know, I've just never been a huge fan just because of the injuries alone or just scare me off. And then Doug Martin, a guy that was you know, top three, top four this time last year, he was locked in to top four in drafts, and you know, obviously had a terrible season, and then it was cut short with an injury. So, you know, I'm really having a tough time with this mid RB1 range of fantasy backs this year, and that's why Ball, I think, is one of those guys that's the most intriguing because of the combination of upside and opportunity right now.
Yeah, I pretty much think that Murray and Lynch are on a tier by themselves, from in my opinion. I think that the Kristen or Christine or how it keeps changing every single week. I wish somebody would just officially call. I'm gonna look it up. I think it's Kristen is how he said it's pronounced. So I'm gonna go with what he said. It's his name after all. The hype for him is out of control, honestly. Because and you talked about my piece last year because I cover rookies a lot because I watch a lot of college football and I rank them in. I talked about last year that based on talent alone, Michael is my top running back based on talent. I was hoping he was going to end up in Green Bay by himself. That would have just been amazing. But that being said, he was my top talent. Monty Ball is actually my second talent from last year. And even that said, as big as a fan I am of Michael, Marshawn Lynch is not going anywhere unless he gets hurt. Now, he might lose two or three carries per game this year to make sure he doesn't get hurt or go anywhere, especially as he nears the end of that contract, which they kind of finagled a little bit and didn't give him a real extension. So you kind of think that they know they're moving towards Michael for next season. I think that he's still locked in as an RB1 just because the guy eats footballs and eats up yardage and eats up defenders. And I actually like Murray a lot. I love his talent, and I like that the offense is going to change out there and actually run the ball. When you're averaging over 5 yards per carry, run the friggin' ball, guys. That had to be the most frustrating owner experience ever last year, is watching Murray just put up yardage like crazy and only get 12 carries in a game. But I'll agree with you in the fact that he runs upright, and that's why he gets hurt, and that's always a threat and a scare with him. And that's why if you have him, or even a nice guy to just grab and build your RB depth, is Lance Dunbar later on. That being said, after those two, I'm with you. Is there's just so many guys here that are at the low end RB1, high end RB2, and I'm gonna run down straight the list. And there's two guys I want to specifically talk about because we got Le'Veon Bell, Alfred Morris, Giovanni Bernard, Arian Foster, Andre Ellington, Zach Stacy. I think any of them could finish anywhere from Lynch, basically, or being the last one on the list. And I'm not gonna lie. This is why I don't like preseason rankings to a degree. I like doing them because the fans eat them up, but at the same time, I don't like doing them so much because I'm changing them three, four times a week. And in that process this offseason, I've moved all those guys around a lot. I can't put a real finger on it. Le'Veon Bell, great talent, but he himself has admitted LeGarrette Blount's going to steal some goal line touches, and he's concerned about it. Alfred Morris, I think, is very underrated, and I know there's concerns that they're not going to run as much, but I think that he's almost the safest one in this area because Giovanni Bernard's going to lose goal line touches to Jeremy Hill. Arian Foster, good grief, you talk about injury concerns. He's the epitome of that. Ellington, you don't want him touching the ball 25 times a game. Extremely explosive, but they're going to try and keep him from getting destroyed out there because if he touches the ball 25 times a game, he's not making it through halfway through the season. And then Zach Stacy, who I actually think Trey Mason's the better talent and could get Stacy'd by Trey Mason if he has that poor 3.6 yards per carry that he had for the last 6 games of last year. So I just it's so much. I'm not thrilled. If I have some of those picks and there's a top flight receiver like a Jordy Nelson sitting out there, I'm probably going receiver this year. And I'm usually one of the old school. I like getting my running backs early.
Yeah, I'm with you. Usually, I feel good when I've got two good workhorse type running backs that I know I'm going to be able to trot out there. I normally hate playing the game of, you know, watching the waiver wire, hoping, you know, not never hoping, but looking to see if someone gets injured and then picking up the backup, or, you know, those shenanigans usually are wasting too much brain power for me when I could concentrate on building my team and finding some depth at wide receiver. But like you said, I think it's just there's too many question marks with a lot of these guys. I like Zach Stacy. I was a big fan when they drafted Trey Mason. I was a little bit less of a fan because I like Trey Mason's talent a lot. I still think Stacy is that, you know, workhorse type of back, but he needs a bunch of carries to get going. And, you know, he's a decent pass catcher, but there's room for Mason or Benny Cunningham to sneak in there this year and steal some work from him. I still think he's going to be a solid back end running back one. And I think Le'Veon Bell is as well. I mean, almost every back has someone that's quote unquote either going to steal some carries or touches from them. You know, Doug Martin, a guy I touched on earlier at a sophomore slump, you know, had a guy in Charles Sims that everyone was panicking about. Charles Sims is now going to miss, you know, about 3 months with an ankle injury, and now everyone's moving Doug Martin back up their boards a little bit.
Because of the opportunity, though, that's really it.
That is true. It's the opportunity, but I still think he was still going to be a solid RB2, regardless of whether Charles Sims was there. It's just I like him a little bit more to catch a bunch more passes now, because that's where Sims excelled. So, but of those guys, the one I actually like a lot and I'm very intrigued with is Gio Bernard. I think he's going to get obviously more involved in the rushing game this year. He only had 170 attempts last year. Solid 4.1 a carry, but I think that will go up. And then the receiving. So we're talking about a guy who I think is going to catch at least 50, 60 balls, no question this year, and possibly even more than that. I think he's an excellent receiving back. I think they want him to be that guy this year. And if he loses a few touchdowns to Jeremy Hill because he's a monster, then so be it, and I'll have to deal with that. But if I'm in a PPR, I feel okay with Gio Bernard as my RB1 if I say waited to the second round or you know, got him at the end of the first and then went with either another running back or a wide receiver there. But yeah, it's just a lot of question marks right now and a lot of guys, and one guy I'm just not going near is Arian Foster. I'm totally sketched out by that whole situation.
Yeah, I really think that Gio Bernard, I'm a lot more confident if we're talking PPR, but in that next group, the thing that I don't like about Doug Martin real quick is the fact of how poor he looked before he got hurt, and then people like Mike James came in and looked pretty good, so you can't blame it on the Bucks. It's just, I don't know who Doug Martin is, and you can always go back to the rookie season of 40% of his points came in three games, so who is Doug Martin? That's really the question there, but two guys I really like in this next group who I'm happy to wait on, and this is why I'm kind of happier to take a wide receiver if I have to this year, because I think they're both undervalued, and you know where I'm going because I've been tooting their horn for weeks on end and a really long time. One is Rashad Jennings, and the other one is Toby Gerhart, and for two different reasons, because Rashad Jennings, yes, I will agree there is a concern of getting vultured by Andre Williams, but the one thing Andre Williams is not going to do is catch any passes. I think that he might not catch passes for his entire career. He didn't do it last year in college, so he could go career. He makes Alfred Morris look like Gio Bernard when it comes to catching passes. Watch some of his tape, seriously, from preseason, or not preseason, from the combine. Actually, I think he did a pro day. That's where the P came from in my mind. I think he did a pro day and not a combine. I don't remember. But whatever the tape was that I saw, try to find it. It's terrible. It's probably the worst example you could ever see of a running back. He claps his hands together like scissors. It's really bad. That being said, Rashad Jennings will offset the lost touchdowns by the amount of yards and receptions he gets. He's going to be a huge part of that offense with Ben McAdoo's system. And then Toby Gerhart, is just going to get fed until he pukes. And yes, there is a chance that Carter Hart could get hurt because he has in the past. But if he's out there, he's going to near 300 touches. And that's all I'm talking about here is he's a volume guy, and there's nobody else in that roster to really threaten him. Sure. Okay, Storm Johnson looks like he could have explosiveness. No, Storm Johnson is basically a one kind of talent type of running back you want as a change of pace to mix things up, can maybe break one off when you mix him in there. He's not a threat to Toby Gerhardt's carries. So I really like Jennings and Gerhardt because in this same conversation, we're talking about the CJ Spillers, who actually looks like his value is dropping for me because Fred Jackson, with their new system in Buffalo too, is getting more carries, and they've even called CJ Spiller more of a change of pace than somebody who could lead the way. Ryan Matthews, does he lose a little bit of value with Wisenhunt gone? Reggie Bush and Joique Bell are going to have RB2 numbers both at the end of the season, but they're going to frustrate the living heck out of you week to week because you never know who's going to be the best one to own in any given week. They could score 2 or 3 points. And then after that, now you're talking about Frank Gore nearing the end of his career, Bishop Sankey, who's a rookie and looks really bad trying to break through the line and tackles, Shane Vereen, which is a New England mess of a situation, Chris Johnson, what is he? The one thing Chris Johnson does well, and I will say this, is somehow he stays healthy. He's always been healthy.
That's true. You could say that for Chris Johnson. He stays healthy, and if you own him on your fantasy team, he'll frustrate you to no end by breaking off massive runs and then putting up three duds in a row in intriguing matchups where he's supposed to tear defenses apart. But circling back to Gerhardt, I do think he's a volume guy. I think he's, again, I just think he's an average running back, but the situation dictates that he is going to definitely get fed the ball, and he's going to be involved in the passing game, which I of course like, especially if I'm playing in a PPR league. I just like that option. I do think the offense, in a way, is going to run through him, and I think there's a definite opportunity for him. I'm more of a fan of Storm Johnson than you are, but I just don't think this is his year. I think he may see a little bit of work, but it's going to be Gerhardt. In a PPR, I like Rashad Jennings. I don't like how he's 29 and has just never been the man, although he's really never had that huge opportunity, and he showed well in Oakland last year when Darren McFadden got hurt,
and
it was solid.
I'll admit he is an injury concern in and of himself. I will admit that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, the Giants are definitely going to utilize him. Andre Williams is the hammer. He's gonna get a little bit of work, but like you said, on his hands, they are terrible. I mean, you just cannot use him in passing situations, unfortunately. And Rashad Jennings is going to eat in those situations. So he's definitely a candidate for 40 or more receptions this year. So that's definitely something I'm looking for. As a guy who could be, both of those guys, Gerhardt and Jennings, I think are guys, if you wait and stack in other areas, you might be able to get them as value RB2 types. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If I'm playing PPR, I love Shane Vereen. I know it's a mess of a situation, and weekly it could certainly frustrate you, but a guy that could easily lead all running backs in receptions this year, Shane Vereen. He's coming up on a contract year. We know the issues with Stephen Ridley. James White has not looked that good, the rookie, not looked that good this preseason so far. Brandon Bolden, who knows if he makes the team, but Vereen's value comes as the ability to catch, 75 plus passes. And also work in a little bit in the running attack. So I'm a big fan of Vereen as my RB2. Again, as a guy, if I wait on a running back too and hope he falls to me in a PPR league. Non-PPR, totally different story.
And in a PPR league, I agree with you. I think Vereen's locked in as at least an RB2. The only question that we still have is Belichick, it's his offense. You never know what we look at last year. He had no competition for carries that one game, and then he came out and touched the ball like 5 times. It just made no sense, and it almost was. It kind of felt like Belichick was giving us the finger as fantasy owners. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He Johnny Manziel'd us. He gave us the finger when everybody was all excited about what Vereen could do because he had a guaranteed look at probably 20-plus touches that game, and he didn't get them. So that's my only concern. And then James White has looked good PPR-wise, and I think that whole mess is really – I think that White, Ridley, and Vereen, you would like you said, you never root for somebody to get hurt, but you or something to clear up, but you would almost hope that something happens, like Ridley keeps fumbling, so the other, you know what the other two are going to get, and that's kind of what you're looking at. It's just going to be a very frustrating situation, but I will be more comfortable in a PPR. After that group we're talking about, and though my favorite underrated name is in this group, you have this kind of collection of guys with upside or question marks or nearing the end of their career or haven't produced. So you kind of like Lamar Miller for the Dolphins, who has some talent, but he just hasn't put it together on the field. And if you remember last year, everybody was talking about Mike Gillisley being the best option back there and didn't happen. That might still happen again this year, even with Moreno there, because Moreno can't stay healthy and even get on the field in the preseason. So there are opportunities there, but he's got to take it. And then you have Ben Tate, who almost makes Aaron Foster look like a health nut. Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice with whatever shakes out there. I think Pierce fits Kubiak's style better, but at the same time, Ray Rice has proven what he can do. So that's a huge question of what happens when he comes back in week three. I just don't know what it is. And then Trent Richardson has not translated his talent from the college level to the NFL game. No question about it. He just runs into the back of the offense. I think like there's something in his body that like magnetizes him towards the offensive lineman. I don't understand why he can't just run through a hole. Why does he have to run into the back of an offensive lineman first? I don't get it. And then Fred Jackson, who I talked about, but my favorite underrated player right here in this group is Pierre Thomas, and it has nothing to do with trying to be a Saints homer or anything like that. But you look at what Pierre Thomas did last year, the RB23 in non-PPR leagues. That's he was an RB2 last season. In PPR leagues, he was 16th overall, and that was when Darren Sproles was still in the mix. Now he's gone, Lance Moore is gone, and granted, that's talking about wide receivers, but you have Kenny Stills taking a step forward, and we're going to talk about the receivers later this week. But Brandon Cooks is a rookie. So you have somebody who's been there in that system. He's turned into pretty much the vet of the system with Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston. He's been hurt in the preseason, but I think that's why he's making his value even better, because when Pierre Thomas is healthy, they know how to use him. Drew Brees loves him. That offense loves him. And I think he's a lock for RB2 if he's out there for 16 games, even with Ingram and Curry Robinson getting more of a share this year, Robinson being, I think, more of the PPR option than Ingram. And hopefully, Ingram looked like he was starting to put that talent that everybody saw in college and why the Saints traded back up to get him in the draft that one season. He's putting something together. And you might have a three-headed monster here, too, similar to the Patriots, but I think it's a little bit different. I think Pierre Thomas being a three-headed monster almost gets 50%, and then Ingram and Robinson share the other 50%. I don't think it's necessarily like a third down the middle for each one.
Yeah, I like Pierre Thomas, and if I miss out on Shane Vereen, if I'm waiting on my running back too, Pierre Thomas is next guy up for me. 77 catches last year. He's always been a good receiving back. He's solid between the tackles. Last year was a down year a little bit, 3.7 yards a carry, but I think there's a little bit more upside with Pierre Thomas, even in an advanced age. I still think he's, going to get you at least 1,000 yards, maybe even 1,200 yards, and 5 to 8 touchdowns, I think, are very reasonable, along with at least 50, 60 balls that he's going to catch. So, yeah, Pierre Thomas, definitely, I think, very underrated for fantasy purposes, especially in a PPR league. And then you talk about the rest of the situation behind Pierre Thomas, or next to Pierre Thomas, however they're gonna play the situation out. Kyrie Robinson is exciting to me. I think he's similar to Chris Ivory, who they had a few years ago. I love the upside potential. I just really like the way he runs. I think he's an exciting player to watch. But he's got to contend with Mark Ingram, who is crazy to think that Mark Ingram's only 24 years old still. So,
I know there's rookies that are older than him.
exactly. So, I mean, it is really, it's a make or break season, obviously, for Mark Ingram. He's gonna really come out and try and prove his worth, and things started to click a little bit last year. And I think if he starts to emerge a little bit, it's going to be really interesting to see how carries are divvied up, and if he carves out his 10 to 12 carries a week, and Pierre's getting his, what's left for Kyrie Robinson? So it's going to be real interesting between those two as to how it plays out. But there's serious touchdown potential if one of those can kind of take that goal line role and run with it, whether it's Ingram or Robinson. There's major touchdown potential there.
Oh, they're definitely, and basically, it's major touchdown potential for anybody that's in that offense. So that's what the good thing about that is. And then moving into the next group, we can boo a little bit for the one that I kind of have near the top here. But okay, we'll kind of run through this next collection here because you have, in my opinion, and probably similar to yours, maybe the rankings change a little bit, but it's some kind of collection of Maurice Jones-Drew, Jeremy Hill, Steven Jackson, boo. Danny Woodhead, Terrence West, Devontae Freeman, boo. Carlos Hyde, D'Angelo Williams. Oh, good grief! I can't believe he's in that. I hate owning Carroll. You talk about a three-headed monster in a situation I hate dealing with. I don't ever enjoy, and I want to like just punch myself in the face every time I own a Carolina running back. And every time it comes down to it, I took D'Angelo Williams in one draft recently, and it was one of those ones. It was like the 12th or 13th round, and I'm just like, I have to, and I still don't want to. But anyway, and then you can even say that like Chris Ivory, Darren Sproles, Andre Williams, McFadden. To real quick touch on the Maurice Jones-Drew is I want the loser of that camp battle because you know somebody's going to get hurt between the two. So just give me the later cost in the draft, and I'll take the guy who ends up playing at some point anyway. But the one I wanted to talk about, and even be coming from the Saints side of things, is get to see him twice this year. Still somebody you want to keep on your radar, even though you don't always want to root for the guys going against your team. And you know what? Maybe you can trade them off before they have to face each other. But I really like what I see from Devontae Freeman. I like that he's a great all-around talent. And Steven Jackson is going to get hurt. He's going to miss time. His numbers aren't great unless you're talking about a course of the full season. Not somebody you're thrilled to have with in your fantasy lineup, but it's just a matter of time before he misses a game or two. And if Freeman steps in there and does like he does or has done so far in the preseason, I don't know that Steven Jackson comes back and has his job because obviously I'm thinking this is the last year for Steven Jackson anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Steven Jackson, just about at the end of the road. Freeman, other than Bishop Sankey, lands in probably the most potentially lucrative fantasy situation, and that's because he's going to be one behind Steven Jackson, who's obviously already nursing an injury this preseason. You know, great career, but it's just about the end of the road for him. You know, they'll probably try and ride him early in the season as long as he's healthy, but I think Freeman mixes in. Even if he is healthy, I think he's going to see some work. Jaquizz Rodgers is no more than a change of pace guy, and Freeman could be their running back of the future. So definitely a huge fan of his. I think it's obviously when you're into this, you know, this tier of running back, you're kind of taking some gambles on talent, and Freeman has it. And that's a guy I want to take a chance on, is a guy like Freeman. You talked about Maurice Jones-Drew and you know, the situation with Darren McFadden. I'll actually go deep sleeper and take Latavius Murray and let you have either one of those guys. And I'm hoping for an injury. And again, talent on Latavius Murray's side. So yeah, when it comes into the tiers like this, you're taking some shots. You obviously want a guy that's going to get some balls and some action, but you want a guy that could potentially either through talent or injury force his way into the team's immediate plans. And Devonta Freeman is definitely a guy that can do that and kind of, you know, upside wise rises above the rest of the names in this tier.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point right there. And then, because we only got a few minutes left, I'm just kind of, you know what, we'll kind of run through. I'll give you some of the guys that I'm looking at as the late round flyers, and then you can give me yours, whether you agree with mine or have anything to chime in. Obviously, we talked about Michael. You know, if you own Lynch and you want to handcuff, I prefer to build running back depth, but he's somebody good to grab anyway because any running back's an injury concern. Ahmad Bradshaw, I think, is a great pick because when healthy, he's been an RB2 at least, and I just talked about Trent Richardson. I'm not a big fan at all. I think that Ahmad Bradshaw has a threat of a chance, a small, slim sliver, maybe, that he could actually end up being the Colts' lead running back for this year. After him, Trey Mason, I had higher hopes for, but he's been terrible at pass blocking, so I might move him down a little bit. But after him, you were looking at the Jonathan Grimes, Alfred Blue battle behind Arian Foster now that they cut Andre Brown. I think the better runner is Alfred Blue, but again, another problem with him is what we've been talking about with a couple guys. He can't pass block and he hasn't been catching very good, so it might be Grimes, but I think that ends up being a timeshare and just something that's going to frustrate you anyway. But to go deeper, similar to your Latavius Murray, who I do like, is There's a few I think people need to remember, more so in PPR especially, is Roy Helu, who's always been a great PPR value, gets you a few points a week, and if Alfred Morris ever gets hurt or if they're behind in games, he's going to even have more value. And then probably my favorite, actually, there's one other player before I get to my favorite, Bobby Rainey, I think is the one that you want to grab for the Bucks behind Doug Martin, just because I think that if they go anywhere, he's going to share time with Mike James, but I think Mike James might be more of the power goal line option, and Rainey will get more touches. But back to my favorite is Dexter McCluster. He was already valuable in PPR leagues as he's going to probably get you 3, 4, 5 points every single week, no matter what. Now he's got Wisenhunt. And we just talked about earlier in the top of the show, Wisenhunt loves his pass-catching running backs, and they've already been doing it a ton in the preseason. They spent more money than I thought they would ever, anybody would, honestly, on Dexter McCluster, but they did. And there's questions with Sankey. There's questions with Green. I think McCluster's in the mix every single week. And if I'm looking for somebody, not just for bye weeks, but maybe, I missed out on running backs or I suffered an injury, and, my number two ends up being D'Angelo Williams. Dexter McCluster is going to be that great high floor guy that you can plug in and get 5, 6, 7 points in a PPR league and be happy with him every single week.
Yeah, McCluster's in an interesting situation. I've always liked the talent, but just felt like he was never going to do enough for fantasy purposes. I feel the same way about Dry Archer in Pittsburgh. Love the talent. I think it's exciting. I think he's a great pass catcher for a small guy who is primarily a running back for McCluster. I just don't know. I like Sankey. I know you're kind of a little bit more down on him than I am. Sean Green's a slug, but he's gonna get probably some work if he's healthy, and definitely gonna get goal line carries with the other two backs there. But Sankey should be involved in the passing game. That's where one area he could excel as long as the pass protection is okay. McCluster is going to get work, and I you made a good point when you saying the contract they gave him. They brought him in for a reason, and they certainly see him as a potential player, but I don't know if it's just as a role player and not going to have enough fantasy upside to sink your teeth into. But with the question marks in front of him, he's at least on the deep sleeper radar. So I definitely don't hate the call, but I wouldn't be expecting a revelation in his fifth season from Dexter McCluster. But a guy to kind of throw a dart at, I guess, at this point is, basically that's what guys we're talking about when we're talking about the Alfred Blues of the world, who I am intrigued by for the long term. Latavius Murray, I already said I totally agree with you on Amad Bradshaw. I'm a fan, obviously, as long as he could stay healthy. That's been the one issue with him. One guy you mentioned earlier is Lance Dunbar, who I do like as well. I think he actually has some sneaky value in PPR leagues if you're playing in a deeper one this year. So definitely going to be interested to see one guy deep sleeper wise, and then I'll give you an even deeper one. Theo Riddick from Notre Dame. He's in his second year. Coaches are talking him up, but that doesn't mean much at this time of year. And that's not really why I like the guy. I like the guy because he's a really good pass catcher, and he's in an offense that passes a ton with two good pass catching running backs in front of him. So if one of those guys goes down, and Reggie Bush has had a tendency, at least earlier in his career, to do that, and Joique Bell is no spring chicken, even though he's really only made his mark last year. I think he's already 28 years old. But if either one of them goes down, Theo Riddick, I think, could have a role. Again, it could be like a McCluster situation where I don't know if it's going to be a massive role, but I certainly am keeping an eye on Theo Riddick late in my drafts. And the deep, deep sleepers, just to give one more, and this is, a podcast for the Saints site, but I have this guy in a couple deeper leagues, is Travaris Cadet. Always been a fan, since he's came into the league a few years ago, of the pass catching ability. He's a little bit bigger of a guy than I actually had thought. I was kind of surprised, but I think he could fill kind of that Darren Sproles type role if pressed into duty. Now we've spent time talking about the three-headed monster that is the Saints running back situation this year, so I'm not expecting Cadet to carve out anything more than a couple plays. But if any one of those guys gets hurt, specifically Pierre Thomas, I think Cadet could have a major role in PPR leagues. And again, it's a guy that you're going to get at the end of your draft, that you're just You're just throwing a dart blindly and hoping that it lands, but you're taking a shot on a guy with some talent that if someone gets injured or is not performing, he could definitely have a role that you maybe are starting that guy on bye weeks.
And that's a great point, and there's been injury concerns pretty much with almost all the Saints running backs to their point of their career. They've always had – actually, you know, I don't know that – has Robinson – I know we were at least talking about two of them, though. So there is a chance there with Thomas, with Ingram, and then there's always a threat. If there's a running back and then you're down to only two options and Kadett's one of them, and we're talking about the Saints offense, you better be running to that waiver wire. So I'll definitely agree with you there, but – yeah, we hit the three-headed monster on Friday. We're going to be hitting the three-headed monster of receivers that they've got going on there. You might as well make it four, though, with Jimmy Graham, but tight ends is next week. But that being said, make sure you check us back. We'll be back. It's the All-In with the Fantasy – or All-In with the Fantasy. All-In with the Saints. Talking fantasy sports with myself, Jake Seeley, at All-In Kid on Twitter, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby McMahon. We'll be back again, like I said, four wide receivers. Give us any comments, questions, concerns. Let us know what you want to talk about. Maybe a sleeper that you want us to specifically talk about and hit on for the receivers. And we'll catch you on Friday.